Jesus loves the little ones like me, me, me,
me.
Little ones like me,
little ones like
sat
me,
upon his
sat
knee.
Upon his
Jesus
knee.
Loves the little ones like me, me, me. Jesus loves the older folks like you, you, you,
you.
Jesus loves the older folks like you, you, you,
you.
Older folks like you,
older folks like
Jesus
you.
Loves you, too.
Jesus loves you, too.
Jesus loves the older folks like you, you, you. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves my Lord? I want to know, I want to know, do you love my Lord? Makes me feel so happy when I love my Jesus.
Makes me feel like shouting when I
love my Lord. I want to know, I want to know, do you love my Lord? Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves my Lord? I want to know, I want to know, do you love my Lord? Tell it on the mountain, oh, love my Jesus.
Don't live in Agape Land, you know. They live in a regular house on a regular block, maybe one a lot like yours. Now, Stevie and Nancy have noticed a funny thing. The problems they run into at home are a lot like the problems in Agape Land. It just seems that things at home are a little harder to figure out. One problem Stevie and Nancy had was Tuffy. Tuffy was the meanest boy on their block. He lived with his father in an old green house that needed some new paint, with a yard that was mostly weeds. No one seemed to know Tuffy's real name, but because he got into so many fights, his nickname seemed to fit just fine. As you might guess, Tuffy didn't have many friends. In fact, he only had one, a scruffy little black dog named Alice. One day, as Stevie and Nancy were walking home from school, they saw Tuffy under a large walnut tree near their house. He was throwing rocks at the bird nests in the tree, and he was laughing.
"Stop it," cried Nancy angrily. "That's not funny. What if those nests have eggs in them or baby birds?"
"Who cares?" said Tuffy. He threw another rock.
"Why don't you mind your own business?"
Alex, who never strayed too far away from his master, growled angrily at Stevie and Nancy. So the children went on home.
"What a meanie he is," Nancy said angrily as they walked. "How would he like it if someone threw rocks at his house?"
That night they told their father all about what had happened. Their father thought quietly for a minute. "Well, Nancy," he said, "I don't think that throwing rocks at Tuffy will help him change his ways. But I think I know what will help."
"What should we do?" the children asked.
Their father had a little twinkle in his eyes. "In the Bible, Jesus said to feed your enemy if he's hungry, and if he's thirsty, to give him something to drink. In other words, be kind to your enemy. Do to others what you would have them do to you. That's the plan. Kindness." And he sang Stevie and Nancy a song. If you'd been there with them, this is what you would have heard.
"More noise, please. Thank you for making noise.
Read the playlist or subscribe to Kill Ugly Radio as a podcast. Visit uglyradio.wordpress.com.
"More noise, please. Thank you for making noise.
It wasn't easy. One day, Stevie offered to help Tuffy study for a test. Tuffy just laughed at him. The next day, Nancy baked Tuffy some chocolate chip cookies. Tuffy took one bite and pretended not to like them.
"These are awful," he said. "I wouldn't even feed these cookies to my dog."
He threw them on the ground and snatched Alex away before the dog could even sniff at the crumbs.
By the end of the week, Stevie and Nancy were tired of Operation Kindness. It was so hard, and it just didn't seem to work. Tuffy was meaner than ever. Then on Saturday morning, the children passed Tuffy's house and noticed something strange. The little dog, Alex, was nowhere in sight, and Tuffy was making sniffling noises and wiping his face with a handkerchief. "Hi, Tuffy," Stevie called from outside the fence. "Oh, it's you two again," Tuffy said in a snuffly voice. "Why don't you leave me alone?" "Is something wrong?" Nancy asked. "No," Tuffy shouted. "I've just got something in my eye." "Where's Alex?" Stevie wondered out loud. "Alex? Oh, he's just..." Suddenly, to the children's surprise, Tuffy began to cry out. They hurried into the yard and sat beside him.
"The dog catcher took Alex to the dog pound,"
Tuffy explained between sobs.
"Alex doesn't have a license, and I don't have money to buy one. And my father doesn't care."
Something terrible is happening.
"Wait," Stevie jumped up. "I have an idea. We'll help you get Alex back." "Ha-ha!" Tuffy asked with big tears in his eyes. "By working for the money, that's how," he declared. "Come on." And work they did. They mowed lawns. They pulled weeds. They washed cars. Finally, after many hours in the hot sun, they had enough dimes, quarters, and dollars. They bought the new license. Then they ran to the dog pound. There was Alex in his cage. When Alex saw them, he wagged his tail so hard it looked like it might fall off. When the man opened the cage, the dog jumped into Tuffy's arms and licked his face. Tuffy held on to Alex as if he would never let go. Finally, Tuffy spoke.
"Thank you so much for helping me get Alex back. I'm sorry that I was mean to you before."
Nancy thought for a moment about her chocolate chip cookies. It's not always easy to be kind, but that's what friends are for, to help no matter what. "And we're friends, right, Tuffy?" Stevie asked.
"Well, yes," Tuffy began. "I'll be your friend on one condition." "Why, what's that?" Nancy asked in surprise. "Will you bake me some of your cookies again?"
"I really did like them, you know," Tuffy admitted. "Why, sure," Nancy said. And they all laughed.
religion. Sex sells, but so does 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 religion.
Music system. All of the features it refers to are described and illustrated in Stereo Components Sound of the 70s, an advanced training manual for 657 sales personnel, available from your personnel department. This complete manual is a must for your use in properly selling Sears Stereo Components music systems.
What a groovy looking stereo.
That's my Sears 9235, my pride and joy.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, it's a four-piece component system. This is a solid-state AM-FM and FM stereo receiver. It has two powerful air suspension speaker systems. And this really special record changer. It's one of the finest component systems made.
Wow. That certainly looks like a lot of buttons and knobs.
It's really very simple. Right now, we're listening to AM radio. I tuned it by turning the function selector knob to the AM position. This first button controls manual tuning, and you can change stations by simply dialing.
I'd go out, you know. Ooh, baby.
Butterflies. Oh, that's easy enough.
Yeah, but now look. We want to go to FM, So we turn the function selector to the FM position, and again dial any station we want on the lighted panel. We're now listening to FM Monoro.
I love it.
That is only the beginning. Wait till you hear FM stereo. Now, I raise this mode switch to stereo position, and as we tune in an FM stereo station, notice how the electronic tuning meter moves to the highest number to show that the station is tuned in perfectly. And simultaneously, the dial indicator lights up to show that we're on stereo. This is a Sears exclusive. Cute, huh?
That is terrific. And just listen to the difference in sound.
There are five memory FM tuning buttons.
How do they work?
Well, first, you tune in the FM station you want on the regular tuning dial. Now notice above each button, is a meter. You line the meter up to correspond to the number on the dial by simply turning the button and then punch the button. Your station is locked in place. Do it on the other four buttons and you've got push-button FM radio on your favorite five stations. No more switching around.
Oh, just like in a car radio.
Wait, that's not all. Let's say the station you select starts to drift because of weather or some type of interference. Something like this. All you do is turn the AFC button to on position and press it. Perfect reception. Yes,
but what is AFC?
A feature available only on the very latest stereo equipment.
Anything else I should know about?
Of course. Bass, treble, balance, and body control. Here's bass. This is treble, for hearing the high notes. And the balance controls these speakers. Station to FM station. The noise filter switch reduces surface noise picked up from records.
It also
reduces FM stereo interference.
The car's music is so absolute on the participants that it induces trances.
Don't forget, the Sears 9235 includes a turntable, too. Imagine the sound quality you get when you play your stereo albums through this outfit.
Put on a record.
Sure.
What does that mean?
A magnetic cartridge reproduces a wider range of sound and creates less friction or record wear. Now, this changer also provides a built-in anti-skate control, a feature that causes a gentle counterforce to be applied to the tone arm, keeping the needle in the center of the groove. And let me show you this, the Sears Q control. Well, I can place the tone arm on any part of the record without running the risk of accidentally dropping the arm and damaging the needle or record.
And it's gonna take some time.
It's really got features, hasn't it?
It sure has. But the thing it does best is play beautifully. Even these two powerful air suspension speaker systems are the finest. Air suspension simply means that the speakers are mounted in a totally sealed enclosure, thus providing the ultimate in sound reproduction. Each Ford grill cloth cabinet contains an 8-inch woofer for deep, rich bass tones, a 3¾-inch tweeter for clean, clear highs, and a 6½-inch mid-range for everything in between. is a Sears component.
Dynamite.
Listening to Kill Ugly Radio. Uglyradio.wordpress.com. To listen to this show again, read the playlist or subscribe to Kill Ugly Radio as a podcast, visit uglyradio.wordpress.com.
The new science of cybernetics has furnished us with convincing proof that the so-called subconscious mind is not a mind at all, but a mechanism, a goal-striving servo mechanism consisting of the brain and nervous system, which is used by and directed by the mind. The latest and most usable concept is that man does not have two minds, but one mind or consciousness, which operates an automatic, goal-striving machine. This creative mechanism within you is impersonal. It will work automatically and impersonally to achieve goals of success and happiness, or unhappiness and failure, depending upon the goals you yourself set for it. Present it with success goals and it functions as a success mechanism. Present it with negative goals and it operates just as impersonally and just as faithfully as a failure mechanism. Like any other servo mechanism, it must have a clear-cut goal, objective, or problem to work upon.
The goals that our own creative mechanism seeks to achieve are mental images or mental pictures which we create by the use of imagination. The key goal image is our self-image. Our self-image prescribes the limits for the accomplishment of any particular goals. In other words, it prescribes the area of the possible. Like any other servo mechanism, our creative mechanism makes use of stored information or memory in solving current problems and responding to current situations. Your program for getting more living out of life consists, first of all, in learning something about this creative mechanism or automatic guidance system within you and how to use it as a success mechanism rather than a failure mechanism. The method itself consists in learning, practicing, and experiencing new habits of thinking, imagining, remembering, and acting in order to, first, develop an adequate and realistic self-image, and second, use your creative mechanism to bring success and happiness in achieving particular goals.
On this short tape, you will hear reenacted consultations with a heart failure patient. The object of the exercise is to illustrate some of the common problems that the GP can encounter in diagnosis and to suggest some of the advice that we can give patients to help manage the condition. Over the last few years, there have been considerable changes in this area, and recent studies have shown that there is the start of an improving prognosis for these patients. My desire is to help continue this trend, and at the same time improve the patient's general well-being. In other words, to make them feel better, to enable them to do more, to enable them to live longer, and ideally to do all three. Our patient is a 62-year-old lady who appears at first sight to be about 15% overweight and to have a slight wheeze. But I'll let her tell her own story.
Good morning, Doctor. I am sorry to be a nuisance, but my daughter thought I ought to come and see you.
Come and sit down, Mrs. Taylor. Tell me what the problem is.
Old age, I think. I need a good tonic. There's just no life in me these days, and I do seem to get very breathless, which I find rather worrying.
Could you just describe what you mean by breathless?
Well, you know, I'm short of breath.
Yes, but I need to know a little more. When do you get short of breath?
Well, it's worst at night. Sometimes I'm almost afraid to go to bed. Last night was particularly bad. It was about 3:30, and I woke up with this awful cough. I had to get up and sit on the side of the bed for a bit. Then I went down to make myself a cup of tea and had a very early breakfast. Here's me, always tired, and I get up and have breakfast at 3 a.m. It's not right, you know. Before my husband died, I used to sleep...
It is vital to question the patient's breathless symptom, whereas in this case it is certainly consistent with heart failure, probably a preload problem. Breathlessness can also be a sign of angina. Had the patient complained of a tightness round the chest when walking up hills, that might have been angina and would require a very different therapy. We should also not overlook the possibility of undiagnosed asthma. The patient also mentioned that she had no life in her these days. Fatigue or lethargy are common signs of an afterload problem, when the heart cannot generate enough pressure to push the blood through the aorta and the peripheral arteries.
So for several nights I've slept in the chair rather than go to bed.
Is there anything else that you find worrying?
No, I think that's all.
What about your ankles? They look rather swollen to me.
Oh, yes they are, but that's just another sign of old age, isn't it? It's a nuisance because I can't wear my fur-lined boots anymore. I thought of letting the stitching out, but I'm not sure the boots would survive that.
I'm much more concerned with Mrs. Taylor's survival. It is amazing how often patients just accept edema as one of those things one has to live with. It's caused by increased right heart pressure, which may also distend the liver and lead to bowel edema and ascites. I don't think Mrs. Taylor has progressed that far, as her comment about having an early breakfast suggests she's not lost her appetite, which would be a sign of ascites. Before going on to examine the patient, I must take a more detailed history. Incredibly, this important step is often skimped, thereby depriving the doctor of invaluable diagnostic clues. She's already volunteered fatigue and breathlessness, and we've seen the swollen ankles, but we should certainly probe further.
Do you have any pain in your chest? No, I do have this kind of pressing here. And sometimes it seems to spread right up my arm.
Which arm's that?
This one.
Your left arm. So it spreads from the centre of your chest to your left arm.
Mm.
Does it feel a bit like bad indigestion?
It's not like any indigestion I've ever had.
Well, does the pain come on when you're walking, or perhaps when you're exerting yourself?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
At other times, do you feel that you might be aware of your heart beating fast or palpitating, perhaps missing beats or racing?
Well, after I've been walking round the shops, I can sometimes feel it racing.
So it's sometimes racing after exercise. You never notice your heart beating when you're resting?
I never seem to be rested these days, but no, I don't.
In the past, did you have any serious illnesses? For example, rheumatic fever when you were younger?
No, I'd be lucky there.
Fine. Well, tell me about your family. Have any of your relations suffered from heart problems?
Yes, my husband died of his heart.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But I really meant your blood relatives. For example, your mother or father, brothers or sisters, or even your children.
Harold, my brother's not a well man. But he's 78 now. I know he has to take tablets for his heart. My mother lived to a good old age, but my father was killed in the war by one of them doodle bugs. He'd been in the ship.
That was quite informative, but now the time has come to examine the patient. And as we do, it's worth considering other possible causes of these symptoms. We have excluded angina, but what about a primary respiratory problem? Could the patient be hyperventilating due to some anxiety, or perhaps she's a diabetic?
Last time I had my blood pressure checked, they told me I was quite normal.
How long ago was that?
Let me see. It must have been just after my third grandchild was born, and he's almost two now, so...
Well, you're a little bit high now, but not excessively.
Is that bad, Doctor?
In itself, it's not too worrying, but we'll have to see what else there might be, won't we? I'm just going to feel your tummy. Does this hurt?
Oh, yes, it does a bit.
It's a bit swollen, isn't it? Now, if you would just roll over onto your left side, please. Heart and lung sounds, such as basal crackles and wheezes, are an invaluable pointer to correct diagnosis. Later, I will go into heart sounds in more detail. But first, let's concentrate on what we hear with Mrs. Taylor. I'm placing the bell of the stethoscope at the apex. This is quite a distinct sound. It's a gallop rhythm, consisting of both third and fourth sounds added into the normal first and second sounds. I note also that the patient has a high heart rate of 110 beats per minute. This is quite usual when there is a gallop rhythm. Other things we should think about in the examination are, is the patient obviously distressed? What's the venous pressure? Is the heart enlarged? Are the lungs clear? Can you feel the liver and is it tender? And are there prominent veins in the neck, which of course are a sign of a raised jugular venous pressure, which could mean right heart failure? The blood pressure can be confusing, as it can be high or low depending on the etiology and the state of the left ventricular function. When we come on to investigations, we find that the ECG can also be misleading. Indeed, it can be dangerously reassuring. A normal ECG does not necessarily mean a normal heart. By now, I'm reasonably sure that we have an example of heart failure, but it's still very important to find the cause. Our later investigations will help us here, but first there are other signs we can look for, such as evidence of anemia and severe infection. We should look at the eyes for evidence of thyrotoxicosis, and of course, there are other important questions we should have asked. Do you smoke?
Very little. 10 years ago, I used to be a heavy smoker, but now it's only the occasional cigarette when I'm watching the telly.
And are you taking any tablets or medicines at the moment?
Only my sleeping tablets. Oh, and I'll take a painkiller for my sciatica. Oh, I do get that terribly.
Well, what about alcohol? How much do you drink a day?
I do like my small glass of sherry.
Well, that's not too serious. But she'll have to make sure she doesn't have too many small glasses of sherry. There are a number of investigations we can initiate. A chest X-ray is, of course, important and should always be requested. From this, we can measure the heart size. If it is greater than 14.5 centimetres in the woman or 15.5 centimetres in the man, then there is cardiomegaly. We can also also look for the faint curly lines, which indicate increased pulmonary venous pressure, probably above 20 millimeters of mercury. I've already mentioned that ECGs can be misleading, but they do help establish the rhythm and whether there is left ventricular hypertrophy or perhaps evidence of old infarction. Very occasionally, we might request an angiogram, mainly for evaluating the coronary arteries. But the development of echocardiography and color flow Doppler usually makes angiography unnecessary. The most useful non-invasive tool in investigating the heart failure patient is undoubtedly the echocardiogram. I believe that if at all possible, it should be used as a matter of routine. Even when you're reasonably sure of the cause of the heart failure, it is well worth an echocardiogram to check for hidden causes or extra complications. In particular, it can establish the presence of a myopathic ventricle and exclude significant valvar pathology. This in turn may be quantified with a Doppler echocardiograph. I'll come on to this shortly, but first of all, let's listen to a few examples of heart sounds. Heart sounds are an invaluable pointer to correct diagnosis. Incidentally, if you're listening to this tape in your car, you may find that the murmurs from your engine are rather more dominant than my examples, so you may prefer to listen to this section in a quieter environment. This is true for listening to the real patient too, so it's important to position the patient carefully to make the sound as loud as possible. For example, mitral murmurs are best heard with the patient lying on the left side, whereas aortic murmurs are more noticeable when the patient is sitting forward and the stethoscope placed along the left sternal edge. Murmurs from the left heart are always louder when the patient is breathing out. When the patient is breathing in, the right heart murmurs become more dominant. Now let's listen to normal first and second sounds. I shall now add in a third sound. This is a low frequency sound after the second sound. It's best heard at the apex using the bell of the stethoscope. Don't hold the stethoscope too firmly or the bell will simply become a diaphragm, which in turn is better for high frequency sounds, but not so good for this. Young people and pregnant women are the most liable to have normal third heart sounds. Pathological third heart sounds usually reflect a volume overload, as in congestive cardiac failure, aortic regurgitation, and mitral regurgitation. I will now remove the third sound and introduce a fourth sound, which comes just before the first sound. This is commonly heard in cases of pressure overload, such as hypertension, aortic stenosis, or in the presence of a stiff ischemic ventricle. I will now reintroduce the third sound, and we now have a gallop rhythm. This is very common in the presence of congestive cardiac failure. This will also produce an increase of heart rate, often to more than 100 beats per minute. Now let's start side two of this tape to hear some murmurs.
Now these experiments started not on tape recorders, but on paper. In 1959, Brian Geisen said that writing is 50 years behind painting and applied the montage technique to words on a page. And this technique had already been used in painting at that time for 50 years. It was, in fact, kind of old hat in painting. Brian copied out phrases from newspapers and magazines, then took a scissors and cut these selections into pieces and rearranged the fragments at random. And these cut-up experiments appeared in Minutes to Go in 1959. When you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups and rearranged texts seem to refer to future events. I cut up an article on written by John Paul Getty and got, "It's a bad thing to sue your own father." This was a rearrangement and wasn't in the original text. And a year later, one of his sons did sue him. I mean, it's just purely extraneous information. It meant nothing to me. I had nothing to gain on either side. We had no explanation for this at the time. It just suggesting the press, when you cut into the present, the future leaks out. but we simply accepted it and continued the experiments. The next step was cut-ups on the tape recorder, and Brian was the first to take this obvious step. Now, the first tape recorder cut-ups were a simple extension of cut-ups on paper. You record, there are many ways of doing these, but here's one way. You record, say, 10 minutes on the recorder. Then you spin the reel backwards or forwards, just like that, without recording. Stop at random and cut in a phrase. Now, of course, when you've cut in that phrase, you've wiped out what's ever there, and you have a new juxtaposition. Now, how random is random? We know so much that we don't consciously know that we know that perhaps the cut-in was not random. The operator, on some level, knew just where he was cutting in. As you know, on some level, exactly where you were and what you were doing 10 years ago at this particular time. But you couldn't, most of you couldn't, a few freaks that can, make that knowledge consciously available. In the same way, while you're doing the tape, on some level, you know just exactly where your words are. So cut-ups put you in touch with what you know and do not know that you know. Now, of course, this procedure on the tape recorder produces new words by alter juxtaposition, just as new words are produced by cut-ups on paper. Well, we went on to exploit the potentials of the tape recorder, cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, inch the tape, that means work it back and forth across the tape head, play several tracks at once, cut back and forth between two recorders. Now, here are some tapes which Brian made with all the technical facilities of the BBC in London, and they show, I think, what can be done with a human voice and one phrase.
Inform them for our handkerchief masks. Arm themselves. Hablando ahora del oeste a razón de 6 millas por hora. Repetimos, la temperatura actual 74 grados. Most of his criticism for Red China rather than North Vietnam. Johnson, addressing a meeting of editorial cartoonists at the White House, held three maids at gunpoint and proceeded to ransack the apartment. Their take, once peace is established, he offered to support an Asian Development Bank to help finance economic progress. And the president added,
that on trial for perjury, for allegedly lying to a grand jury about the Duncan parking meter
union and helping in jewelry. This late word, the House Education and Labor, the consuls in Washington are showing interest
and about Scrivain's getting the money was made by Gittleson to form
on a textile factory on the outskirts of Saigon. That daring attack mounted by guerrillas masquerading as South Vietnamese Marines. Ceasefire policed by an Afrin proved by a voice vote, despite some
would prove that Scrivain actually got the money.
Now southwest of Saigon, a battalion of guerrillas pinned down Vietnamese troops with small arms fire. 15 government soldiers.
26-year-old Michelle Duclos entered the plea today in federal court in New York, 3 days before she was scheduled to
advanced in London at a meeting of the owners of started evacuating their wives and children from the North Vietnamese capital. The North Vietnamese fear the city may come under American air attack. Reliable and an assortment of viscounts and barons listened, but no action was taken. Almost a regal amalgamation. WINS News Time
was reported only to Austria or certain other countries.
A pleasant afternoon, high well into the 70s. These are the developing stories. President Johnson repeats his peace proposal
of the Chinese communist in a White House address to a group of editorial cartoonists. His remark was,
he'll meet New York's desperate financial
today was a suicide.
Repaying later. West Germany and Israel established diplomatic relations. The Arab world
if the target of the Red Chinese is not merely South Vietnam, it is a
fingerprints as 33-year-old Ernest Porter Tuck. He had a long 86th Street this morning by a neighborhood resident walking his dog. Police say the gun may have been taken by someone who had happened along earlier. The New York State Republican Chairman Carl Spann predicted,
in this they shall never succeed. Mr. Johnson renewed his call for unconditional peace talks and emphasized the
West. Wrap chocolate ice cream.
Afternoon, the high and the
China for blocking Vietnam peace negotiations. Rebel snipers have killed another Marine in the Dominican Republic. The Marine's death brought to 18...
To a close, another Kill Ugly Radio. Thanks so much for listening to the Kill Ugly Radio Home Edition. I'll do it again soon. What did we hear? We heard a whole bunch of stuff. We started off with something called Jesus Loves the Little Children, or actually Jesus Loves the Little Ones, and then we heard the album from the Grey Wolves, Catholic Priests Fuck Children, and then we heard something from Agape Land, Character Builders, Kindness, The Trouble with Tuffy, a nice little narrated Christian story I found on a 45, and then we heard also a Sears demonstration record, Sears number 9235 Stereo Components Music System. I just found that today. And a couple other things. Oh, we heard some Ilhan Miramoglu from the album Electronic Music doing excerpts from Pieces for Magnetic Tape. And we heard some William Burroughs, of course. And we're still hearing some William Burroughs and Brian Geisen tape cut-ups in the background, so I'll do this again, in a week or so. Maybe a couple of weeks. I don't know. Thanks for listening to Kill Ugly Radio Home Edition.